Blog Talk Radio.
Well, are we here? Yes, we are here. We're live. We're live on the Andy and Amanda Show. Hi, this is Andy, and Amanda's going to join us momentarily from the UK, the one and only show in the entire world that does connect the United States with the United Kingdom here on Blog Talk Radio. The number to join the show is 515-605-9888, and we're going to have a fun time. You know, we invite your calls, or you can also email the show. Let us know you want to join the internet. Well, we can make that happen, too. Amazing technology, isn't it? And the way you do that is you simply email andyandamandyourshow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to get on board, and we'll send you a link. And make sure you have, headset and microphone or whatever so you can connect, because you will be talking over the internet as opposed to the phone. Anyway, hope everybody had a great weekend. And I know we did. How about the sports? Can we talk Philadelphia Phillies? Can we talk Philadelphia Eagles? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think Amanda's with us now. I just got an indication that, hey, she is with us. We got this indication that somebody's joining the show from the UK, and who else could it be but my lovely co-host, Amanda Love. How you doing, babes?
I'm doing good, thanks. How about yourself?
Fine day at here. Everything's doing fine. What is that? Didn't we just hear that? Fine and dandy. No, I'm not dandy. I'm fine. I'm close to being dandy. Not quite dandy yet. I am fine.
Oh, you know, yeah. It takes me straight back to that clip you played on the last show.
Yeah.
That comedian. Oh, my goodness.
I just said fine and dandy. I don't know if I have that still here. We should play it again for people probably in here.
Yeah. Your throat sounds like it's your voice sounds like it's like you're losing your voice.
It doesn't, though. I don't know why. I don't know why that is, but I'm fine. And, I've been playing a lot of music and doing, and maybe that's catching up with me. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, it sounds you're okay.
Yeah, I think I am.
I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
Yeah, they don't. You know, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, it's the same for women, you know.
Yeah. So, how's it going there with the Queen Charles and Camilla?
Oh, Queen Charles.
Who is it?
Oh.
King Camilla.
To turn drag. As far as I know, he's things are going okay for him.
I'm thinking. Yeah, you know what I mean. Charles there, yeah, and Camilla.
as far as I know, they're doing good. If there's anything about them in the news, I don't know about it. I literally have not been anywhere near the news, apart from, actually, that's probably a lie, because I get emails sent through, and I check the emails here and there. And, of course, you know, all doom and gloom regarding, Russia and Ukraine. But I've not seen anything that is particularly to do with us that is fascinating, really. It's just all focused on the war and what's going on with Trump. And, and Liz Truss, of course, as everybody's really concerned about our new Prime Minister, Liz Truss. Because,
how's that going?
She's done a U-turn, basically, with what she said she was going to do with the tax cuts. So I think people's losing their trust in her now. Really have trust to start with, I guess. Everybody was a bit shady about, her joining and, being prime minister. But I don't know, she convinced me. Start off with, because you've heard me on the show, I was like, oh yeah, I really hope Liz Truss gets in, things kind of that she's saying, and kind of warmed up to her. She has this nice personality. Mm-hmm. But I think she's just, she stepped in the wrong time, like most dire situations here in the UK, when there's a changeover that quickly like that. Everybody usually steps in at such a dramatic time. And she's having to hold her own with this energy crisis that everybody's still freaking out about, and they're kind of getting to grips with it now. And it's funny, I've been having my walks, because everybody knows I love my walks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying
yes.
to keep that up
yep.
to stay mm-hmm. fit and all that good stuff. And so I've noticed in the evenings especially, I'm thinking, we've got an energy crisis. And there's people with their homes all lit up all outside and inside. And I'm thinking, wow, they either they're not concerned or, you know, they make a lot of money that they're just happy to have all these lights on. And, you know, when I think about it, it's the energy costs have doubled, if not tripled.
My gosh.
So it's kind of, that blew me away just seeing that. I was like, wow, mm-hmm. there's, you know, us in our household, you know, trying to do the right thing with keeping certain lights off when we don't need them on, and being cautious of how much mm-hmm. gas and electricity we're using. And so, yeah, it was a bit of an eye-opener. So I think there's many of us that are, you know, really concerned about it, but it just seems to be from that, you know, one moment that I saw, you know, many houses like that, that maybe they're not so concerned and they're just okay going with the status quo. But I don't know. It's
interesting.
It's
a good observation.
Right,
I mean, what you just said is very important.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, you know.
I wonder what I know we've had, you know, energy costs have increased here too, more at the gas pump than I think than the actual cost of electricity, so to speak. But the it's, you know, we have an election coming here. Midterm elections are coming up in just a few weeks, actually.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting. We'll see what the tone of the country is. We'll see what kind of impact the Roe v. Wade overturned by the Supreme Court, those rights that were taken away for women that they've enjoyed for 50 years, was,
right.
of course, we all know is dismissed and overturned. And we'll see what kind of effect that has had on the electorate. We don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I've heard both things. Not that I go out there and take a litmus test. I don't. What do I know? Whatever, you know. But here, the January 6th committee, the congressional committee investigating the basis and the cause and the background and for what happened January 6th, and, you know, how did that happen here in this country? And they, you know, of course, they've been holding quite a few hearings, which has revealed quite a bit of information that we were not privy to previously in the terms of seeing documentation, seeing videos, hearing testimony. And it's been incredible. I have this little clip I'm going to play. It's going to take us a few minutes. And
it's
going to start with some of the highlights of this past last week's hearing, the ninth hearing, I think it'll be the last one, which culminated in a subpoena to have Donald J. Trump testify before the committee in public. We'll hear how that goes. Let's take a listen to these highlights. I also hear Nancy Pelosi, we've never heard before. I mean, it was on, you showed it on the hearings, obviously. We're showing it for the first time on this show. But we'll hear Nancy Pelosi. I'll also hear Chuck Schumer. I'm just going to play it. So this kind of highlights there's a few things that it covers, and then we'll talk about it afterward. Here we go.
Okay.
When you look back at what has come out through this committee's work, the most striking fact is that all this evidence come almost entirely from Republicans.
The Select Committee got this pre-prepared statement from the National Archives. As you can see, the draft statement, which was sent on October 31st, declares, "We had an election today, and I won."
Let's just hope we're celebrating.
Yeah.
I really suspect it'll still be up in the air. But when that happens, the key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. Sorry, over. We won.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
ABC.
I should vote and I'll get right to the violence. That's what
On December 31st, agents circulated intelligence reports that President Trump's supporters have proposed a movement to occupy Capitol Hill. In particular, they flagged spikes in violent hashtags like We Are the Storm, 1776 Rebel, and Occupy Capitals. On January 5th, a Secret Service open source unit flagged a social media account on the Donald.win that threatened to bring a sniper rifle to a rally on January 6th.
Senator Schumer is at a secure location, and they're locked down in the Senate.
there has to be some way we can maintain the sense that people have that there's some security or some confidence that government can function and that we can elect a president of the United States.
The concern we have about personal harm, personal safety is it just transcends everything. But the fact is, on any given day, they're breaking the law in many different ways. And quite frankly, much of it at the instigation of the President of the United States.
I'm at the Capitol building. I'm literally standing with the Chief of Police of the U.S. Capitol Police. He just informed me what you will hear through official channels, Paul Irving, your Sergeant-at-Arms, will inform you that their best information is that they believe that the House and the Senate will be able to reconvene in roughly an hour.
So this afternoon, I am offering this resolution that the committee direct the chairman to issue a subpoena for relevant documents and testimony under oath from Donald John Trump.
Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed is no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
They have dissuaded him from coming to Capitol Hill. They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here. So at the moment, he is not coming, but that could change.
Oh, he comes. I'm going to punch him out.
Oh, wow, I would pay with you.
I'm waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out. I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be happy.
We are seeing more of that incredible video of Speaker Nancy Pelosi on January 6th demanding protection from Trump's government and making sure lawmakers of both parties stayed safe, while Trump infamously did nothing.
He had said something to the effect of, I don't want people to know we lost, Mark. This is embarrassing. Figure it out. We need to figure it out. I don't want people to know that we lost.
The president says, I think it could have been Pompeo, but he says words to the effect of, yeah, we lost, we need to let that issue go to the next guy, meaning President Biden.
He was looking at the TV and he said, can you believe I lost to this effing guy?
And I said, does the president really think that he lost? And he said, you know, a lot of times he'll tell me that he lost, but he wants to keep fighting it.
Well, D.C. has requested the National Guard, and it's been denied by DOD. I'd like to know a good goddamn reason why it's been denied.
He's not going to swear under oath to tell the truth, and he couldn't compose himself for the amount of time that the committee would, you know, interview him. And the thing I know about Donald Trump is there's sort of two Donald Trumps. There's the behind-the-scenes guy who knows what the deal is, right, who knows he lost the election. And then there's the public face of Donald Trump that he hides behind the trappings of wealth and, you know, having ex-police officers around him and Secret Service and the flag and all these kind of things he uses to intimidate others. And his world is crumbling now. I think yesterday was one of his worst nightmares because people were seeing that he knew he lost, and they were also seeing Nancy Pelosi showing real leadership. So I don't think there's anything in it for Donald Trump to testify, and I think
ultimately, he's a coward.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, the whole thing with how he was overcharging, you know, that's blown me away. Like, really? I mean, well, it's not surprising from the conversations you and I have had in the past about how he works as a businessman. You know, it was an eye-opener when you shared what you shared. And it was like, wow, you know, the first-hand experience.
His whole world is collapsing. To isolate himself and protect himself, evidently protect himself, is collapsing. And it's collapsing rapidly. And I think he's having the worst time of his life right now because he's no more or less subject to the law than anybody else. He's a nobody to the law. He's just an ordinary citizen right now. And, you know, he stole documents from the government. He's evaded taxes. He's been accused of rape. In election interference in Georgia. You know, he's got all of these various allegations that are starting to heat up very rapidly that are going to lead to one or more indictments, I say, by the end of this year. And it won't happen before the election because I think that'll be too, you know, the people will be, oh, my God, political, political. I think it's going to happen after the midterms.
Yeah.
I think shortly after the midterms, you're going to see the former president of the United States indicted. And I think it's going to be a slam dunk. I think it's going to be a no-brainer. I think he's going to be found guilty. And we'll see what happens after that. Because we've seen the evidence. I mean, how can we – we've seen it. You know, it's on video. It's on tape. It's depositions. We've seen evidence. The guy is committed. You know, he's anyway, well, go on. Hey, I think we have Cornell on the line. Cornell, are you on the line?
Hey, so, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Glenn?
Oh, hope everything is great. I was listening to the show. And I was thinking, like, this guy must have, like, I don't get it. I really don't get this guy, man. It's like
he's like a cat with nine lives.
Yeah, man, he's like a dark superhero, that a villain that you can't catch like the Joker. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wouldn't that be cool if they made, like, some sort of movie like that and he played the villain and, like, you know, no one could catch him?
Yeah. Like, catch me if you can. I'm the gingerbread man. You know?
Right?
What
I'm yeah.
I'm like, he done did everything that is like everything. I mean, possibly everything that he can do to get locked up, and he's still not locked up. I don't get it.
Yeah. That was quite a movie, Catch Me If You Can, wasn't it? That was kind of.
Oh, yeah. That was fantastic.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
Do you know? I actually interviewed, when I worked for a magazine many years ago, I interviewed the original guy. What was his name?
You did?
Yeah, I interviewed him.
What was that like? Oh, my gosh.
It was incredible. He was such a lovely guy. He was quite humorous, very down to earth. And, yeah, he was just living a normal life, family and all. So, yeah, it was fascinating to hear about his life right from his mouth. And, so whenever I watch the movie now, I've got fond memories of, you know, having that conversation with him. And, it's fantastic.
Wow, catch me up to speed, guys. Catch me up to speed, because I'm coming on talking about Trump. I'm like, what the hell?
Well, we were previously talking about the Queen. Excuse me, the King. And
we started from the Queen Charles.
Queen, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Queen Charles.
It's funny because I was thinking Queen Elizabeth, and then I realized it's King Charles, and I kind of merged them together to become Queen Charles. Welcome to the mind of Andy Kimball. And his wife Kamala. it is Kamala, isn't it?
Oh my God, Kamala.
Is it Kamala?
Camilla.
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 Something.
Camilla.
You're getting it.
Yeah.
You're very close.
Yeah, you're close. They tell you what, it's easy to get those two mixed up, isn't it? Camilla and Camilla. It's like, what? It's a headache. But you know, actually, talking of the royal family, Netflix are going to get some stick from people regarding their new season that they're going to be doing of The Crown, because they're currently looking for an actor. I think I've heard this correctly. They're currently looking for an actor to play Prince Harry, and I can only imagine where that's going to go with everything that's going on. You know, so it's the intriguing to see what plays out with what happened in the past and catching up to speed. I've not watched the show at all. I literally avoided it for the longest time, and everybody kept saying, oh, you should watch The Crown, you know. It's so close to what happened with the royal family. And even Harry himself said that it was very close to a lot of the things that happen in real life. So, I think, you know, at some point I'd like to give it a watch. But, yeah, there's a bit of controversy right now with the new season that they're going to be doing. So I'm intrigued to see where that goes. And they don't need any more kind of crap thrown at them with everything that's gone on recently. No. You know, and with Harry's book coming out as well. I'm not sure if it's out yet or if it's coming out. I know it's coming out, but I don't know if it's actually been released yet. I don't know.
Wow.
I need to get on top of that.
So but, Harry's an author now.
Well, sort of.
I think Harry is the one, like, he's going to be the one that tells the real truth because he's like, I don't have nothing to lose type of guy. He's like the, to me, Harry seems like the guy that's the sibling that is like the, what do you call it? Not the black sheep, but, you know, the person that just don't care. He don't want that lifestyle.
I think black sheep of the family would be a good reference. It's not, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, in one sense, he's not afraid to stand on his own 2 feet and try and do the right thing. But in another way, I can see how he's tried to respect his family as much as possible whilst pushing those boundaries. I mean, you know, he's very much like his mother. He is definitely his mother's child because Diana wasn't afraid to step outside the box of the norm and say, no, you know, this is the way it should be done. So...
Yes.
I think, yeah, he's very much following in her footsteps, and it's almost as if he's repeating his mother's history as well, because she stepped away from the royal family, and she ended up with somebody else who was, you know, frowned upon, and that's pretty much similar to what's happened with Harry in his life, and, you know, all the charitable and wonderful things he and Meghan are actually doing. Was pretty much what Diana was doing as well. So it's interesting if you put their two lives side by side to actually see, you can kind of see a pattern forming how he's kind of living out his mother's life right now. And I hope to God nothing tragic comes of it. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Meghan here and all the problems she's causing and all the lies as well. Supposedly she's told all these lies and is trying to make things awful for the relationship between Harry and the royal family, kind of stirring the pot a little. So, yeah, there's so much coming out about it all, and I think it's only going to get worse. And I think they had a bit of an issue, apparently, at the funeral. And you had all these body language experts monitoring them and saying, yeah, you know, look at their body language. They've obviously had words with each other, and Harry's not happy with Meghan right now. And he took her to one side, and they were talking in as soon as they got in the car. So I don't know exactly what's going on. Who knows? I mean, this is all like hearsay and kind of just talk right now. Only they know the real truth. But it just seems like there's a lot of crap coming their way and probably the royal family's way. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. You know, it's fascinating here in the States how much fanfare the royal family gets in a lot of the, you know, the tabloids, you know.
Mm.
In the cover pages, you know, it's there's a lot, there's a big following for the royal family here in the United States. It's,
oh wow,
it really is something. And interesting thing, I've only been, you know, only spent the length of time in the UK, in London actually once, and I went to go visit the Cheshire Lounge, but not what's it called, where the Queen lives, not the lounge. Well.
You've got
that's a bar.
Buckingham Palace.
The fucking
is
what?
It the oh,
the
is it the other castle? Your Buckingham Palace.
That's the one I went to. That's the one I went to.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah,
there's her other castles as well and land that she's owned in Scotland and various places. But so you went to the palace?
I did. I tried to meet with the Queen, she wouldn't have it. I tried to get an interview.
Boom.
On the Andy Amanda show.
That's rude, isn't it, eh?
Very rude.
I know.
Everybody wants to come on the show. Everybody wants to come on the show. I went to London. I walked up to her. I knocked on her door. I said, hello? Yeah, hello? Hello? She said, yeah. Yeah. I said, hi, it's Andy from the Andy Amanda show. She, I gave it the office. I can't give anymore. I already gave it the office. So I'm here.
Oh,
I'm just here to interview you. No, go away. Go away. Take him away.
So, take him away.
Oh, that's
what's the name of the soldiers that protect the queen and the royal family. What's the name of those soldiers with the big hats?
Well, there's Harry, there's Tom, there's Dan, there's Seymour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, all... Seymour Butts. I know that Seymour. One. Yeah.
Remember that.
Nice guy.
Nice guy. Very nice guy. Who else is there? There's Tom. There's a Chris. Which soldier are you talking about there?
The guys with the big fur hats.
I know.
Who are they?
I can't.
I just told you. Oh, I know who they are. Wait a minute. I think I know who they are. I know. I like his name for them. I know what it is. I
They're
know
not
what it
the
is.
Beatles.
No.
No, but I know you're talking about the guys with the red, jackets, right?
Yes.
I know exactly who it is. I know who it is.
The Chicken Sisters.
Oh, there they are.
Oh, yes. 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 Y'all don't know me no more on the show. Yes.
Yes.
Y'all don't know me no more on the show.
Miss Breyer. Miss Breyer. Miss Roger. Miss Capernet. Miss Stewart. And old Madam Hen.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get canceled, guys.
Those are the dudes you're talking about, right? That'd be the dudes you're talking about. Yeah, that's it.
No, that's what you're talking about, Andy.
Basically, bro, they're just called the Queen's Guard. They haven't got any kind of specific
name. I was interviewed for that job, you know.
You were?
When I went over. Yeah.
Wow.
I failed the first question. Yeah.
Oh,
I have it. You want to hear? I recorded it when I was there. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Here. Let me pull it up here. Yeah.
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Kind of like the whole New York Times Square deal, you know, where they're asking all these questions. And can you believe that went on? That was crazy.
Unbelievable.
Kind of was like, what? What?
Yeah, right. I was like, okay.
I don't know that conversation.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, y'all not gonna. Have, I'm looking at the Black Escalade. You
know? We had one of our reporters here on the show at Buckingham. What do you call it there? Buckingham Castle.
Palace.
I'm sorry. And I have. He tried to get an interview with the Queen and. I have part of it here. It's excerpts. Let me see what it says here. Let me see. Excerpt 1, Andy Mandel Show interview with the Queen. Here we go. Yep.
Ever put your life in another man's hands?
Yes. Yes.
Knife, yes. Life, no. Yes.
Wow.
Hey, how's Bella doing there? How's Bella doing? Still there?
Goodness, yeah, still here. And she absolutely... loves the UK. You know, she spent a lot of time in Mexico and the US, and so it's quite refreshing for myself and my whole family to hear her take on how she's experienced in the UK. And we were amazed when, you know, she was saying how the quality of food is different, how the environment feels much more organized and has a place, and people seem to be very what's the word I'm looking for? Happy with the structure, the way that the UK works, and you know, everybody seems to go about their life quite happily. I don't think I'm giving it justice as to what she shared with me, but to be honest, you know, she's just basically amazed by the people here, how laid back it is. How much safer it feels. Like I said, the quality of food.
And basically, she was talking about...
We were talking about what was going on there, but also what was going on in the world.
Yeah.
For example, we went to Domino's Pizza, and she was eating this pizza with me, and she was like, oh, my God. I was like, what? She said, I've had Domino's Pizza, you know, in other countries, and she said this just tastes so unreal, like the quality of ingredients tasted much different, and from all the foods that I've given her, and we've tried together. She's just absolutely blown away. Even the like eggs taste different, and obviously the quality of bacon and things like that. I don't know why.
I know why that is. That? I agree. I think it's
He's either drinking too much or he's taking some pills.
Yeah, probably. So she's amazed, absolutely amazed, and absolutely loving it. And she's been letting all her family and friends know the kind of experience she's having here. And yeah,
you know, everybody appreciates something different because, like you said, when you come, you know, go to another country or even go to another state. Like if you go down south, like if you taste like the fried chicken up where I'm at. You'd be like, it's okay. But when you go down south, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, this is the best. It seemed like they got a different countries got a different flavor, different style, the way they make it or something like that, I guess. Maybe. What do you think, Andy?
Oh, definitely. I agree with you. Like, flavors and ingredients and stuff like that can be very, very different.
Like Andy live in California, but he'll get a cheesesteak or a hoagie in California, but when he comes to Philadelphia, he'll be like, oh, my gosh, finally, a real steak.
Exactly.
You know what else is salads here in California? There's a noticeable difference in the increase in freshness and quality. In my experience, I've been here, I think, a total of 8 years, coming from the East Coast. I'm not a huge salad eater, but when you do have a salad here, and you know what else is amazing salads? When you go to Hawaii, and I don't know, the further west, the better the salads get. I don't know what it is, but the freshness of the tomatoes and the lettuce, I guess they grow so much of that here, year-round climate and everything's grown right here. I don't really know, but there's a huge difference in just the depth of the quality of taste of a salad here in California versus the East Coast.
Yeah.
However, the East Coast does have the stuff that's bad for you, you know, the cholesterol sandwiches, you know, steak sandwiches, you know.
Well, do you know what amazed me and blew my mind was, this is not just from Bella either, this is from a friend of mine who spent all her life here in the UK, and she moved to the US about 15 years ago. And she said to me that she, being a diabetic, she went into a store in the US, I can't remember, I couldn't tell you which store it was, and she just wanted to buy some water. So she was looking at the water and she was checking the ingredients and things like that, and you know, everything seemed legit. And she got back to her truck and she started drinking this water, and she came over all funny and started to get worse by the minute. And so she did some research, she found out that there was sugar in the water.
Oh my.
And she was absolutely stunned, you know, like she said to me, I couldn't believe it, man, because she calls me man. She said,
that's
I couldn't believe it, man,
I like
you know.
That.
Thanks. And she said, in the US, it's not a legal requirement for them to put all the ingredients on the label. But here in the UK, you have to put every ingredient that is in the food or drink on the label. Otherwise, you can get sued or it won't be allowed to be sold. And I think, so that was a kind of the slip up in terms of that. So that kind of like, I was like shocked by that, you know, somebody who's diabetic didn't know it had sugar in the drink. And then it was just water at the end of the day. You didn't expect sugar to be in water. So that kind of surprised me. And then Bella said to me the other day, I bought some spring water. And she said, oh, I'm not sure I like the taste of this. And I said, oh, why is that? She said, well, I'm so used to having sugar in the water. I was like, you're kidding me. She's like, no. And that was in Mexico. So I'm just like, wow, that blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind that we just don't have sugar in the water here. It's just like little things like that are just, it's interesting to see what is what between countries and how countries work and the types of foods and ingredients and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah,
I heard that,
like I said to you before,
pizza,
got very strict food laws. Sorry,
I heard
Darren,
that pizza is not an Italian invention. I heard that pizza was actually created here in the States. Is that true? Do we know? I think that's what I heard. The origin of the pizza.
Italy is the founder of all things kind of like pasta and pizza. I could be wrong. So yeah, maybe the US did. Maybe we should look it up. Shall I look it up? I can do that right now.
I'll tell you what it is. a precursor of the pizza was probably the focaccia, a flatbread known to the Romans as a panis focatus, something like a species, to which toppings were then added. Modern pizza evolved from similar flatbread dishes in Naples, Italy, in the 18th or early 19th century. The worst pizza, oh, I'm sorry, the word pizza, the worst pizza was first documented in 997 AD in Georgia, which is, not in Georgia. We need 11,780 votes. Okay. Gaeta, Gaeta something? I don't know. Successfully in different parts of central and southern Italy. Pizza was nearly eaten in Italy and by immigrants from there.
Okay. Yeah, because a lot came from Greece and the Romans and things like that into different countries. Because like I said, cider was brought over to the UK all the
Fido
way back
the
then.
Dog? Yeah. You talking about the dog? Fido the dog?
Fido
was brought from UK. I'm like, what's he have to do with anything? All right. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to know that. You don't learn something every day. You know, Fido. Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. That was very rude of me. Yes. Good to know. Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it, where all this stuff originated from? Because we're just so used to eating it and experiencing it that... And I love asking those
types of
questions.
There's a speaking of pizza, I got to refer some folks, especially in the West Coast, California, to our friends over the place called Blaze Pizza, who we know well. Blaze is a chain of incredibly good, fresh oven, brick oven, what do you call it? Brick oven baked, I guess brick oven cooked or baked, whatever. Pizza, you build your own, all sorts of anything you want on it, and they're very inexpensive, very very inexpensive, and they're really really good. It's a chain in California. If you haven't been to Blaze Pizza, which many people have in California, but those who haven't, you just remember Blaze Pizza. If you haven't been there, you got to get there and do a build your own where you can, and you get you pick what kind of crust you want, what kind of cheese you want, and then you pick as many toppings as you want, many meats and vegetables and pineapple, whatever you want on it, and then you can top it off with a drizzle of it's so good. Blaze Pizza, yeah, really 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 good. Yes.
So the pizza pie, is that a Chicago thing?
Pizza pie is a who?
Yeah, pizza pie, because I've heard that like you can get those real thick deep dish pizza.
Yes. Yeah, deep dish. That's Chicago. That came. Yeah. That's interesting how that developed. They call that Chicago style pizza. And that's when they took a regular pizza and they built it out and they stuffed the inside of it, built it up higher. Chicago style pizza. And there's one amazing place that actually franchised and became a chain called Pizzeria Uno out of Chicago. They call it Chicago style deep dish pizza. And that's, obviously not the original pizza that we just talked about, but it is really, really good. I guess it depends on where you get it from, like anything else. But yeah. that's a Chicago spinoff of the regular pizza.
Okay, yeah. It looks so good. I got to admit, like when I've seen pictures of it and stuff, I think I saw it in a TV series going back, and I was like, oh my god, that looks so good.
Interestingly enough, pizza is actually part of the history of Italian food.
Yeah.
And here I was thinking, is it pizza? You want to say earlier, was pizza invented in America? No, it actually, there you go. But everything comes to the West, to America, and becomes Americanized, you know. So there's the thick pizza from Chicago style, the thin and more. Yeah, the New York pizza is even thinner. The New York style. Did you ever hear New York style pizza? You know?
I didn't know there was a difference.
I love New York style pizza.
Yeah, New York.
Hey, Andy, tell her about a Stromboli.
It's so good, especially if it's made well. I guess like anything else is made well, but a Stromboli is imagine a pizza folded over.
Okay.
With delicious crust, with delicious dough. and it's folded over. And you have it stuffed with, you can have like a steak sandwich stromboli with like the interior of what would be, and you can have a pepperoni stromboli, a mushroom stromboli, a veggie stromboli. Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
I think you're going to get today, Andy. You get your stromboli.
You know, I haven't seen, I don't really looked, but I haven't seen a stromboli here in California. In Philadelphia, New York, a lot of strombolis. Here in Southern California, everybody's got burritos and tacos. That's the thing.
Oh.
Burritos and tacos. And every once in a while you see Philly steak. And you know, I walk in and I say, so you really have a Philly steak here? I'm from Philadelphia. Okay, come on. Can we talk? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Strombolis, I haven't seen, and the places I've been to, I haven't seen strombolis. I'm going to look into that today. And get back to you guys. And see where can you get a good stromboli in Southern California? So you have not had a stromboli yet, Amanda. You haven't had a stromboli yet.
No. Pizza pie, the stromboli, the New York flap pizza. I've not had any of those. Just the normal Italian thin crust or a stuffed crust or, you know, the classic crust.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know what you're missing.
Oh, I know, right? I'm a huge pizza fan. Like, I just adore pizza. It's one of those things I could just devour.
I'm going to about to tell our UK audience and our audience in London where you can get a stromboli and phenomenal pizza in your backyard.
Yeah.
Send $2 to the Andy DeMander Show.
Stromboli.
There's a place called Over St. James. It's an Italian restaurant. It's in London. It's at Piccadilly Circus. It's called Over St. James.
Yeah.
It's at Piccadilly Circus. The other place is called La Papardella, London. PAPPARDELLA, London. It's located in Earl's Court in London. And the other one is Ask Italian, and it is in Paddington.
Oh, okay.
Ask Italian. So those are places in London where you can get a stromboli and a really, really good pizza. Those places.
Oh, yeah. I just found Ask Italian. They got a 4.2 rating out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks like a nice place.
Hey.
Ooh.
Yeah, how about La Papardella there? Perfectly cooked, braised. I said perfectly cooked bruised lamb. It's braised lamb.
Okay,
the poor lamb. Perfectly cooked bruised lamb.
Yeah.
It's perfectly cooked braised lamb. Spinach ravioli, spaghetti. God, it looks good. My God. So there are places where you get a good pizza and a stromboli. Now, I haven't seen stromboli in London. Just this is so far good Italian and pizza. I haven't seen anybody specifically. Specifically Jay Stromboli yet. There's got to be Stromboli there.
We've got one in my hometown. There we go. We've got an Ask Italian in my hometown.
A Stromboli?
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Go.
Yeah.
Go ahead and try it.
Yes, I will. I'm just trying to find where they are. Let's have a look at where they are.
Oh, man. We got to try this, guys. We definitely got to try it. And this is a drink.
Oh, okay. They're not far from me. Excellent.
Oh, what's their I can't call them.
What their menu is.
You know what? Let's try calling. I want to try calling Mom's and see if they have stromboli. Let's call them on the show.
Oh, man. I'm just looking through their menu. Ooh.
Here
that's
it is.
Good.
Okay, we're going to call Mom's. Let me see. First, let me see. They have... Pizza. No hamburger. Cheeseburger.
My goodness.
No.
Stromboli. Pepperoni on a tomato mozzarella base. We'll add chilies if you like it hot. Make it a prima 12. 12-inch? What's that? I don't know. What does 12 mean? Make it a prima 12. Huh. But that only comes under a classic pizza. It doesn't say anything like it's got any more ingredients than that. Huh. Okay.
Huh. Yeah, I'll be darned. I can't find Stromboli in Southern California. There's got to be a place. Anyway.
What?
Hey, listeners in California. We have a lot of listeners in California, by the way. I found the actual breakdown of where our listeners are in the United States, which are pretty widespread. But the bulk of those listeners are in California and in Florida. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania's up there. Nevada's. I have to go look at the map again, but I just from memory, I know that California and Florida, we have a whole bunch of people listening to the show. 605-988. Tell us, where can you get a Stromboli? Hey, Cornell, how about the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes, yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. I'm like,
yes,
they beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Phillies,
the Eagles. The Eagles beat the.
Let's keep it. I'm gonna say they killed the Cowboys.
They did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to be professional, but the Birds wiped out the Cowboys.
They did.
And the reason why everybody get upset, Amanda, about the Cowboys, because the Cowboys is like our rivals, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I hear a lot of hype about the Cowboys.
Oh.
But, yeah, that's interesting.
That's the America's team.
Right.
It'll be pretty interesting. Eagles are now in football here. Eagles are now 6-0. And
yeah.
the only team in professional football that is undefeated. The New York Giants, oddly enough, have lost one game, so they're kind of behind them. The Cowboys are 4-3, something like that, 4-2, I think. So the Eagles are number one right now with an undefeated record. And then we also look at the Philadelphia Union, the soccer team, I guess that is, that also just won the championship. And we have the Phillies, and it's been 11 years since the Phillies have seen postseason play. They wiped out the St. Louis Cardinals. They swept them. Best of three. They won, swept them in two games. The Cardinals supposed to win. Then they take on last year's defending World Series champions, Atlanta Braves, and beat the Atlanta Braves to enter themselves in a position of the National League Conference Championship, which starts tomorrow night in San Diego and then moves to Philadelphia over the weekend. And coincidentally enough, that same weekend when the Eagles have a bye week. So the Eagles are off next weekend when the Phillies are in town playing the San Diego Padres. Now, interestingly also enough, the Padres, and that was an interesting game, they knocked off the best team in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who won 100 games this last season. The Philadelphia Phillies won 87 games. The Philadelphia Phillies were the sixth seed. In other words, the last spot to get into the playoffs went to the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know if anybody could believe they actually made it, especially being away for the last 16 games. They had 10 games, the last 10 games were out of town, and they had to win a bulk of those games, and they had to call upon the Brewers to lose, and the Phillies went down and beat the Astros and got themselves a playoff berth. And who beat the Dodgers but the San Diego Padres? And they did that in San Diego, where San Diego has not seen a postseason victory since 1998. And they beat the Los Angeles Dodgers, who seem to be in the playoffs every year. I live here in L.A. I'm done with it. We need new blood. You know, now we're seeing in the National League, we're seeing the two wild card teams. We're seeing the Philadelphia Phillies and the San Diego Padres, the sixth seed and fifth seed, the teams that are not supposed to be there, play each other for a spot in the World Series. Unbelievable time in professional sports right now here in the U.S. Unbelievable time. Unbelievable. And what's even stranger is the way they build the playoff the structure, the system, is they have the wild card playoff. The Phillies beat the Cardinals. Okay, the winner of that, in which case was the Phillies, they have it structured, so then they go play the former league division championships, which are the World Series champions, Atlanta Braves, to make it tougher for that wild card team to advance in the playoffs. You know, they want to hopefully see, you know, the team that's got all the victories, the team that really has been in first place, the team that's rightfully supposed to be there. They want to see, you know, that team, the better team should go all the way, you know. But any given Sunday, any given day in sports, you know how it can roll. So the odds of a wild card team advancing, and same for the Padres, you know, they went ahead and beat the best team in baseball. You know, the Phillies beat the World Series champions, Atlanta Braves. What are we talking about here?
Wow.
And for the city of Philadelphia is the city. Oh, I got to hand it to Philadelphia. In front of City Hall, Cornell, in their city where William Tell stands. Not William Tell. What's his name? William Penn. William Tell, whoever it is there, on top of the statue. William Tell. He looks like he's taking a piss, doesn't he, on top of the building there?
Yes.
So they had the Eagles game. They had a watch festival, a watch party. They put a great big screen, huge screen, in front of City Hall. And it gathered, thousands of people gathered to watch the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Dallas Cowboys for free in front of City Hall. The city put that up for everybody. I mean, Philadelphia is just absolutely just rivaling in this incredible sports moment. And we'll see how it materializes. It's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Wow. What happened to the Philadelphia Stars?
The Philadelphia Stars was a part of the now defunct USFL. Some players migrated from that league to the NFL. The Stars came, that was in the 1980s. We saw some phenomenal players come out of the USFL that went to the NFL, one which is this incredible running back. I forget his name at the time for the Philadelphia Stars. I can see his face. I can see his a bunch of players came from the USFL to the NFL. They didn't make it. It seems like, and then there's the XFL. You know, there's all these different, you know, permutations of football leagues that's tried to start with, you know, people and trying to capitalize and invest money in the leagues and, you know, trying to make something happen. It really has never worked. It's hard to compete against the major, you know, contenders, you know, the National Football League and the and baseball. It just ain't going to happen, I don't think. And speaking of which, did you hear about, and I forget the name of it, I can look it up, I guess, this baseball league, this nutty baseball league, that it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters, where let's say you hit a foul ball, right? Mm-hmm. But a fan catches it, it's an out.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
Or if you hit a home run, right? And a fan catches the home run, right? It's not a home run, it's an out. So the fans get to participate in the game.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of unique.
Wow.
And all these other crazy rules. I mean, crazy rules. And there's a couple teams that have already spawned out of this crazy baseball league. Is it called the crazy baseball? I don't know what it's called. I don't know what it's called. I'll look it up, I guess. Crazy baseball league. I forget, but I remember reading that this league was actually starting to gain some gravity. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called.
Okay.
I have no idea what it's called. I forget. Yeah, but it was starting.
I'm interested about the whole fan thing.
I mean, I'm trying to find it right now, and I can't even Google it. I can't even find it.
It's called the Phantoms. The Phantoms.
Is that what it is?
That was hockey. Yeah.
Remember the Blackhawks, Chicago Blackhawks? So it was another hockey league. There was another basketball league. Never really happened, as far as I know. I might stand to be corrected, but there was not another basketball league, as far as I know. How? Speaking of which, our man, ambassador to the Philadelphia 76ers, Joe Richmond, is on a trip right now. He's going to be joining the show again soon, right?
Yes.
Do you know something, awesome. Cornell? You're in the Philly area, right? You're just south of Philly, there in Delaware. I tuned into LA Sports Radio, ESPN, here in Los Angeles. Guess what? Because the season is about to kick off here with the Lakers playing the former champions, whoever they were. Who won the NBA title last year? So that's going to be Wednesday, I believe. The Lakers play the Pacers. So on ESPN Radio here in Los Angeles, they were talking about predictions of the Philadelphia 76ers going all the way this year. Here in L.A., in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amanda, I heard you're quite the bowler. You're captain of the bowling league or something?
What?
Aren't you captain of the bowling league in London or something like that? No?
No.
Yeah. Oh. Hell no. He said, hell no.
Guess what I did?
What
did I do? Oh, yeah. I was going to say, last night I saw, what did I see? Last night.
Halloween?
Last night I saw the opera singer Renee Fleming at the Walt Disney Center in Los Angeles incredible. As a matter of fact, next show I'm going to pump up some Renee Fleming, some opera music. Holy crap! She has a voice. Her reputation precedes her. Of course, she's been in many productions of the Metropolitan Opera. She's the top singer that's ever actually done a solo performance at the Met. She sang the national anthem at the 2014 Super Bowl. And you can look her up on YouTube. She's done a lot of master's classes, and when you see her teaching the youth and young people coming out of Juilliard and so forth, she's incredible. But, man, to see her in concert last night, what a treat that was. Holy smoke. Renee Fleming, folks. A lot of folks probably know the name. You know, they might not know her. They might follow opera, but they may know the name somehow, some way, someday, whatever it might be. But I got to tell you something. Renee Fleming, check this woman out. Incredible. It just blew the place away. Blew the place away.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is great. Wow.
Yeah. That's what I did last night. Yeah.
But, hey, guys. Yeah. I've seen the Halloween, The End. That was a great movie. And I'm not a Halloween fan. The picture. It was great. It was a nice movie.
Oh.
It's AMC has a whole horror festival going on with the Friday the 13th, Halloween. Who's that little puppet baby kid that who's that little puppet?
Chucky.
Scary little puppet.
His name Chucky.
Chucky, yeah. Yeah.
I have a question about my girlfriend. I hope you will ask me a question about yours.
Yes.
Yes.
Was her name Chucky?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll think about
Chucky,
it. Chucky, yeah, all these Chucky movies. But AMC, which I guess is a TV network of some sort, they're having a horror fest, and they're playing all these scary movies.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
I like scary movies.
Except some really dumb ones. Some of them, they're incredibly stupid. Just dumb. You wonder who were to check.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get all these B actors to scream and run around and, you know, pretend to hack each other with knives and shit. And,
yeah.
You know, but the good – and how about, you know, how about like here's Johnny. What
Family
was that
Bill
one? The Shining?
Yeah,
Yeah.
You know, and The Exorcist?
Amityville Horror.
I said horror.
Oh, goodness. They're all classic. I still love
Amityville Horror. The Amityville Horror,
it
right?
Amityville Horror. Yeah. Horror.
Oh, I thought it was the Amityville Horror.
That's the porno version, right?
Hey, you don't give anybody ideas. It might just happen.
In Amityville.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Poltergeist and, like, the Conjuring movies as well are so good.
You know what gets me?
I have a...
You know what gets me?
Clip.
When
Go
I
ahead,
watch a movie,
that?
Right, and I watch a movie, guys, and it's real scary. And at the end of the movie, they be like, "This was a true story," and that fucks me up right now.
Yes, and that's what I like about the Conjuring movies, because they're all based on real cases that Ed and Lorraine Warren, who
and I got news for you. You ready for this? I bet the Amityville Horror is a true story too.
You're right.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
I got a clip of me singing after I heard Renee Fleming. I couldn't resist, so I got up and sang. Here I am. You'll okay. like this. Okay.
Oh, tiptoe through the window, by the window, that is where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulip with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just imagining doing that. Yeah. What I'm doing.
Andy, can you do it again on the show right now?
Tiptoe.
Can you sing live?
What? There we go. Everybody, see, it really was him.
I'll tell you. Mm-hmm.
What was that?
That yeah, was, what was that?
That was me, like.
Oh, I thought we had a seal in the studio for a moment.
So did I.
Yeah,
we have a big crowd here today. We have a big
this
crowd.
This is a big crowd.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big crowd. 24 countries over. You know, we need 11,000.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find.
Okay, shut up.
11,780 votes, which
okay.
is one more than we have.
Isn't he?
Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
Okay,
on,
we
man.
Need 11,000 more listeners.
Yes.
Yes.
Why
what, just 11,000, or you want actually want to go higher than that?
Well, for right now.
Yeah,
because
be
we
cool.
will bring in the biggest sponsor you've ever seen in your life. Believe me, that's
oh.
what
yes.
they tell me. They tell me the biggest. It's so huge, and quite frankly, I believe it. That's what they tell me. Quite frankly.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to imagine what that biggest sponsor looks like.
A biggest monster.
Sponsor.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the biggest monster. Let's throw that into the mix as well, because that'd be cool.
I don't know what it could. I have an idea who might be.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
That's a good. We might.
Yeah.
We could possibly.
I've got the littlest pumpkin sat on my desk. I went pumpkin picking yesterday. It's so cute.
Do you know
what?
That we still have the audio clips from last year's Halloween show?
No. You do?
We could probably just run last year's Halloween show this year, not even do a show.
Oh, no, they wouldn't even know the difference.
They wouldn't know the difference.
That's right.
Let's see. What day is Halloween? It's on a Monday. Oh my God! It's on an Andy Demander show. It's a Monday.
Oh my goodness!
So maybe we were on last year's show.
Yeah, I think we should. I'm gonna be triple.
it was like Halloween scary music and Halloween stories and spooky stuff,
yeah.
as I recall. So we'll just run it. You know, I don't think we talked about anything time sensitive. I can't believe, you know, it's really something that, you know, we've been doing this show a long time.
I know, right?
480 some odd episodes, I think. 700
wow.
published. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I mean, wow. Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, it blows my mind when I hear it.
Yeah.
Think,
this is our baby.
Yeah.
It's
it
really
is.
Something. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
that's
we seem
imagine.
To be having some technical difficulties. In other news. Oh, my apologies.
Oh, one of my favorite
clips.
Somebody
really?
How I don't
okay.
That's my favorite clip from that movie. Seriously.
Hey, when we get off air, guys, I want you guys to try Jack Daniel and Dr. Pepper.
Jack Daniels and Dr. Pepper?
Yep.
Okay.
Back I don't know where that came from.
Please tell me that's not your plan.
Well,
no.
Might be.
Maybe the sound effect from that guy doing that is what happens after you have Jack Daniels and Dr. Pepper, which is what
Amanda, what movie is that from? Do you remember what movie that's from?
Yeah, Bruce Almighty.
I never saw
it. Really?
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
No.
Like, Jim Carrey and that is just so funny. I mean, put aside all the God stuff, because it literally is just, like, a pretty cool, fun version of, like, you know, God-like being in your life. But, I mean, the whole comedy value of that movie is just hilarious. Like, that scene, every time it comes on, I just can't stop laughing. It's fantastic.
Mm.
It really is.
I gotta go see
it. So basically, Jim Carrey plays God for a certain period of time.
Oh my god!
And you know, he has fun with that. It's fantastic. Really is great.
Do you remember the George Burns movie with John Denver? Oh God.
No.
Oh, that's a movie from the 70s, I'm thinking. George Burns and John Denver, you know, the guy who sang, thank God I'm a country boy, you know, that guy.
Yeah. I know who he is, Okay.
And the movie's called Oh God, and they also did Oh God Book 2, and it's pretty funny. It's George Burns. I mean, there's only one George Burns, you know, the guy with the cigar, you know. But it's really good. You gotta check it out. You gotta try to find it on your movie channel, whatever it might be. Oh God, it's current. You'll still get a kick out of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I speak to you today with feelings of profound sorrow.
Thank you.
Oh no.
And check out Rodney Dangerfield. What was that movie? Him and Chevy Chase.
The golf course. Caddyshack. Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Oh, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Did you like the National Lampoon movies as well?
Don't I didn't see it.
Worry about me. Give me a chance to fight. What was the name of that song? I don't mind. Nobody's worried about me. That was the Caddyshack. Theme song. What was the guy that sung the song?
That's evaded me. Literally cannot think. It's been years since I've seen that movie, Mind. Oh my god. It's like, how old now is it? 80s, wasn't it, that movie?
Yeah, Caddyshack was back early 70s, right?
Oh, was it early 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my favorites in the 70s was Animal House.
Oh, right. Okay. Y'all remember the Police Academy movies? My God.
Oh, Bill Murray. Yeah. Oh, and how about Fletch with Chevy Chase?
Oh, Fletch. Yeah. My goodness.
I like that scene where he has his ID and he unfolds his wallet and about 30 business cards come out, you know, in different occupations, different businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I still watch Forrest Gump. I think that was a great movie.
Oh,
Forrest Gump
was fantastic
with Tom
movie.
Hanks.
Absolutely.
Just the
value in that movie. Incredible.
I like how when Tom Hanks did that role, he actually studied somebody who was speaking with in the South, who seemed to make one syllable words, two syllables. Like Forrest Gump, you know, that P is separate, you know, Gump, you know, the P, Forrest Gump, you know, and he's amazing. What an actor. The guy's great. A friend of my daughter's and staying in a house in Malibu right next to Tom Hanks' house.
Right
next to house. And,
wow.
And they're together. They're kind of, yeah, very close together. And but Tom Hanks, I never saw him there. I used to go there quite a bit. And Tom Hanks, of course, has a number of properties. And but I never saw him at this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was his place, his house. Yeah.
Wow.
That was cool. I was sure if I used to go to Tom, I was sure one of these days I was going to roll up and be Tom Hanks, but that never happened. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well.
You never know.
You never do.
You never know.
No, that's right.
I had a surprise for him if he did show up.
Yeah.
That statement, since you played What's-His-Face, Carlin, on the last show, now I'm mm-hmm. thinking about all the things we say that just make no sense. Because, like, me saying you never know, well, people do know things. So to
yeah,
say
you never
know.
You know, yeah, you never know. Should we, we could go ahead and...
But.
All right. I was going to say, we could hear that again. I guess I could find it. And so... Yeah, why don't we do it? Because a lot of folks are listening to the show and not here.
It was hilarious.
Don't know what we're talking about. It's only a few minutes. We have a few minutes to kill on the show anyway. So let's do it. Here's George Carlin with his expressions routine. It's pretty funny, folks. Check this out.
Hello, everybody. How are you? How's it going? Thank you. Thank you. You know, we have a lot of expressions in the English language that we use all the time. Most all of us use them every day. And we never seem to examine them very closely. You know, we just say them as if they really made sense. Like, legally drunk. Well, if it's legal, what's the problem? Leave the guy alone. He's legally drunk. You know where you can stick it. You hear that, don't you, guys? You know where you can stick that. Well, why do we always assume everyone knows where they can stick it? Suppose you don't know. Suppose you're a new guy. You have absolutely no idea where to stick it. I think there ought to be a government booklet entitled Where to Stick It. Now that I think of it, I believe there is a booklet like that. They send it to you when you complain about your income tax. Selling like hotcakes. Well, is this the fastest selling item we could think of? For this figure of speech, hotcakes, beer, cigarettes, coffee, even eggs. You go to the average place where people are ordering breakfast, you'll find a lot more people ordering eggs than are ordering hotcakes. Well, it doesn't sound right, does it? Michael Jackson's new album is selling like eggs. People won't say that. It doesn't have the right ring to it. Undisputed heavyweight champion. Well, if it's undisputed, what's all the fighting about? That's the last straw. That one doesn't seem fair to me, you know? I think you ought to warn a guy first. That's the next to the last straw. Let him know he's running out of straws. Down the pike. Boy, he was the meanest guy ever to come down the pike. Fine. What about guys who come up the pike? Not everybody lives north of the pike. Some guys come up the pike and they're really mean because nobody mentions them at all. What about a guy who don't even use the pike? Comes on Amtrak. He was the meanest guy ever to arrive on Amtrak. Doesn't have that ring. It's like eggs. Down the tubes. You hear that a lot, especially the last couple of years. People say, boy, the country is really going down the tubes. What tubes? Have you seen any tubes? Where are these tubes? And where do they go? And how come there's more than one tube? It would seem to me one country, one tube. What, does every state all of a sudden have to have its own tube now? One tube is all you need. But a tube that big, somebody would have seen it by now. Somebody would have said, hey, Joey, look at the tube. You never hear that. You know why? No tubes. No tubes. Takes the cake. Boy, he really takes the cake. Where? Where do you take a cake? To the movies? You know where I would take a cake? Down to the bakery to see the other cakes.
And how come he takes the cake? How come you don't take the pie? Pie is easier to carry than a cake. Easiest pie. Cake is not too hard to carry either. Piece of cake. Out walking the streets. You hear this when a murderer gets paroled from prison. Guy will say, now, instead of being in prison, this guy is out walking the streets. How do we know? Maybe he's home watching TV. Not every guy gets a parole, right? Is out walking the streets. Yeah. Sometimes they take a bus. Occasionally they steal a car. We ought to be glad. Thank God he stole a car. At least he's not out walking the streets. Fine and dandy. That's an old-fashioned one, you know. Say to a guy, how are you? He says, fine and dandy. Not me. I never say that. You know why? I'm never both of those things at the same time. Sometimes I'm fine, not dandy. Close to dandy, approaching dandy. In the vicinity of dandyhood. Not quite dandy. Other times, I am indeed dandy. Not fine. One time, 1965, August, for about an hour, I was both fine and dandy at the same time. Nobody asked me how I was. The Riot Act, you know? You hear that? They tell you you're gonna keep telling you're gonna read you the Riot Act. Especially when you were a kid. You wait till your father comes home, he's gonna read you the Riot Act. Tell him I read it myself. And I didn't like it either. I consider it wordy and poorly thought out. He wants to read me something. How about the big picture book of 250 sexual intercourse positions? More than happy. I'll bet you say that one. You say to somebody, oh, I'd be more than happy to do that. How can you be more than happy? To me, that sounds like a dangerous mental condition. We had to put Dave in the mental home. He was more than happy. Last one, in your own words. People say that to you all the time. They say, well, tell us in your own words. Do you have your own words? I'm using the ones everybody else is using. Next time they tell you to say something in your own words, say, Nick Flat Blarney Quando Fleur.
Only one.
What a legend.
Yeah. Unreal. Yeah. Hey, you know, we began our show talking about a few things having to do with the former president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump himself. I think we kind of circle around and just hit that briefly again. But why do that? No, the reason was I came across something that was kind of fun to play around with.